You know what? It is. It is a good morning. It's a wonderful morning. It's a spectacular morning.
It's kind of a weird morning.
You're also not wrong about that.
Yeah. We got a visit from our favorite engineer this morning, and that just made it kind of, I don't know, nostalgic.
I'll take you behind the scenes. I ain't scared. We were having a conversation this morning about something that both Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall, and I found out we both A, have in common, and B, are wildly almost offended by.
There's no almost to it.
A little offended by.
There we go.
Like, on one hand, I get it. I turned 40 this year. So, I get it. On the other hand, I do not need to be served with what I described to Chris as insulting regularity. Advertisements for pills that make it work. I think is the most radio-friendly. I don't even know if that's a radio-friendly way to describe it. But I'm going to roll with it because it's the safest I could come up with on the fly. It works. It's fine. Okay? I don't know what it is that happened in my algorithm that decided.
All you gotta do is say, and she'll like it too.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think she already does. I don't need that. So far. Now, there may be a day that they change this. And for the record, let me say this very quickly. If you are someone for whomst that particular medication will help, do it. Do it. There is zero shame in that game. At the end of the day, we are evolved for our systems to stop working at a certain point. So if you are at that point where certain systems no longer work and you can take some sort of pill or apparently wipe that exists, and it helps particular systems to get up and going, to get up and running, by all means, take advantage. Science is amazing. The world of medicine has extended our life from back when we used to die in our 30s, early 30s, to where we're living with great regularity into our 80s and 90s. Take advantage. All right? There is no shame in that. I'm just saying, I don't know why it is that all of a sudden, 90% of my social media feed is like, hey, are you having a little trouble at home? Wink. No. And what did I type into the search bar that is creating an issue?
Or what were you looking at? What did you linger on?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
There is nothing in my, that I'm aware of, there is nothing in my social media feed that should have triggered that in the algorithm. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. I don't even know how this conversation started with Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall, but it did. And that's how our day got started here at the Radio Ranch. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, I think, and welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Spectacular to have you as we roll on this morning. The AP Top 25 poll is out. Officially, and for the first time since I have moved here, way back in the before times of 2020, both the Gamecocks of South Carolina and Los Tigres of Clemson, turns out, they're top 10 teams, despite the L for Clemson, and with the win over Virginia Tech. The new AP poll is out. Clemson drops 4 spots down to number 8. South Carolina jumps up 3 spots now to number 10. Both teams in the top 10. Will it stay that way all the way until rivalry week? Good gosh almighty, do I hope so.
I know that we're probably going to get more into this, but it's kind of dumb having teams with losses ahead of a team that won. It just, I mean, any team that won. I understand it. And if we were 4 or 5 games in, it wouldn't look like this. But right now it's,
Yeah, I will say this. I look at the very first team in the AP. So let's just give you the AP top 25. Let's break it down so you know where everybody's at. Starting at the bottom coming up. Utah, Texas Tech, Indiana, Tennessee are all undefeated at a whopping 1-0, 25, 24, 23, and 22. And number 21, the University of Alabama dropped 13 spots down to number 21. And the question I would ask is, and this is why week one, yesterday I talked about.
Sucks for you, Tennessee. I mean, don't you think you should be ahead of Alabama?
I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Week one's AP poll should, to me, be selected, operated with zero regard to what the final preseason AP poll was. They should not lean on each other. When you make a week one poll, you should not be looking at the preseason poll at all. That should be thrown up, bundled up, tossed in the trash.
I'm glad to see that ESPN has no influence over the AP. So that's good to know.
They should not. So the preseason poll should be, when you take the pit, what do you call it? Crumpled up. I can do this. And thrown in the trash. Completely ignored. So, Alabama drops to number 21 at 0-1, getting decimated on the road by a then-unranked Florida State. Of course, Florida State's jumped all the way up to number 14. We'll get to them here in just a minute. Just ahead of Alabama, number 20, Ole Miss. Texas A&M, 19. Oklahoma, 18. SMU is undefeated. They fall one spot down to 17. They get jumped by Iowa State. Now, 2-0, Iowa State jumps up six spots to number 16. Michigan is 1-0. They drop down one spot and fall behind number 14, Florida State, the only team that was, excuse me, one of two teams who was unranked. Utah goes from unranked, they jump to number 25. Florida State goes from unranked with their home decimation of Alabama. They jump up from unranked to number 14. They are one spot behind their in-state rivals, the Gators of Florida. They are 32 points behind Florida in the back pocket of the mighty Gators at number 13. The Sun Devils of Arizona State drop a spot down to 12. They flip-flop with the Illini of Illinois now up to number 11. South Carolina, after their win over Virginia Tech, vaults up three spots to number 10. They are now one spot behind Notre Dame, who falls three spots down to number 9. Clemson is at number 8 with an 0-1 record. That is four spots down from where they were. Texas, with a road loss to Ohio State, drops six spots down to number 7. The Oregon Ducks move up a spot. They received one first-place vote from AP voters. They are at number 6. Miami, no first-place votes, but they jump up five spots to number 5 after a home win over Notre Dame. Miami, after the win over Notre Dame, at number 5. Georgia is now at number 4. No first-place votes for the Dogs. Six spots jump up the LSU Tigers. They receive three first place votes from AP voters. They move up six spots to number 3. Penn State will stay at number 2 with seven first place votes. And after the win over Texas, Ohio State, not a consensus number 1, but it's a pretty big gap. 55 first place votes go to the Buckeyes of Ohio State. And it sounds to me like gut reaction, knee-jerk reaction from the AP Top 25, because I didn't really study these yesterday. It was the wife's birthday. She got precedence over college football. Sorry, I love college football, but not as much as my wife. Gut reaction to me, after what we saw, this Ohio State being at number 1 is a result of the enhanced metrics. Ohio State winning over Texas, even if Texas maybe did not look like they were even in the same stratosphere as a genuine number 1 team, is going to get you more. A 14-7 win over Texas is going to get you more credit than Penn State hanging 56 or whatever it was on a school that you can't remember who they played this weekend. Exactly. The face of consternation and concentration, not constipation, from Lonzo tells me I'm right. It's that enhanced metric that moved the Buckeyes ahead of Penn State to number 1 with what was a good win over Texas, but it was not impressive. We didn't walk away going, damn, the Buckeyes are clearly a number one team. I think we walked away going, it's a pretty good team. It's a pretty good team.
See, why are you downplaying it wasn't a consensus when it's the majority, way over the majority pick?
I literally said that.
One. Yeah, but you.
I said it wasn't a consensus.
At the same time, your word choices are making it sound like. Okay.
Roll the tape. My words were, it's not a consensus, but it's an overwhelming pick to be number one with 55 first place votes. It's a pretty good game. It's not a pretty good gap.
Do you
it
think
is the
they
biggest gap.
Be number one?
No, I don't have an issue with them being number one.
Because it kind of sounds like, I mean, I'm just saying, tonally, it just sounds like you got problems.
No, I think you took something personal that has nothing to do with that. I said.
I haven't taken anything personal all morning, so at least not yet, but I will eventually.
It's early. It's early.
I will.
No, I don't have an issue with Ohio State being number one. I think there should be some, just like I don't have, honestly, I probably would have put LSU ahead of Penn State at number two for the same reason. You went on the road. And Ohio State didn't go on the road. They played at home, but they did play at home against number one. So I would have probably put LSU above Penn State. And honestly, I probably would have bumped Miami up to number three.
Just because of impressive wins? I mean, at the same time, LSU beat Clemson, who was ranked ahead of them.
Miami beat Notre Dame, and I think there should be some rewards for that too.
Yeah.
Again, I would ask the question, who did Penn State play? Who did Georgia play? I know who they played, but I'd be willing to bet that the overwhelming majority of people have already forgotten who Penn State and Georgia beat.
And I think everybody kind of has a couple gimmies the next two. I mean,
sure.
The top five probably do. So.
And I would say that based on who you have coming up, this is week to week by me. My power rankings are not going to be the same. We do this every year. We're going to do this year as well. We power rank performance. We power rank where we think are, where we think teams are based on the way that they are playing right now. Power rankings and rankings are different. Power ranking is this is what this team is doing right now. Ranking is this is a look at everything this team has accomplished so far. And for me, those rankings are very dynamic. Here's what I mean by that. I would have Ohio State, after their win at home over number one Texas, with my admittance that I'm not going to address Texas as if they were like the grand poobah of college football teams. But you get credit for taking on a preseason favorite that Georgia doesn't get for playing Marshall. I will also say this. So if Texas ends up going 7-5, a little bit of the shine of Ohio State's win over Texas, especially considering it was a 14-7 UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, it was ugly, it was ugly win, a little bit of that shine is going to come off to some degree.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right there. But I'm checking out right now each team to see what they got coming up. And most of them, for the next 2 weeks, they're not playing anybody.
Yeah.
Penn State will play Oregon in 3 weeks.
Yep.
And so far, that's the first team that has another team, and a ranked team, by the way. The other ones should all be gimmies.
I am very happy that week one of college football, I'm very happy that week one of college football was as good as it was, because the next two or three weeks ain't. Like there's a couple of interest. Let's look at this Saturday just for funsies, shall we? Just for funsies, Friday night, Louisville, a team I'm interested in, has James Madison. I think none of us care about Boise State anymore, right? Like, we all know that Rob Brown was correct the whole time when he told you everybody who picked Boise State to be their Group of Five champ is about to be embarrassed, because you're all about to learn what I've been screaming for months now. Boise State was Ashton Janti, and Ashton Janti was Boise State. We got it now? So don't care about Boise State. Here's your Saturday list of games for every team inside the top 25. Penn State's at home. They have Florida International. Texas is at home. They have San Jose State. What genuinely, Lonzo, genuinely might be the most interesting game of the early window on Saturday? Number 11, Illinois is at Duke. Like, honestly, that might be the most interesting game. Duke won 9 last year. They got a dude at quarterback now. This is one of the first games we're going to find out. Is Manny Diaz a coach now? Or was he using Elko's guy to ride to 9 wins last year? That's interesting. Florida State, now a top 25 team, has East Texas A&M. Not the Colt. East of the Colt. Iowa State has Iowa. Sure, rivalry game makes that one interesting. Iowa State is only a 3.5-point favorite at home over Iowa. So, like, that game might be interesting. And I'm kind of interested in Iowa State now after their win over Kansas State and the fact that they are the only 2-0 team in America. Like, maybe I'm interested, and maybe I'm interested because this is a rivalry game, but is that the best noon game? SMU host Baylor. Okay, that actually might be a pretty decent game, and we'll find out if SMU is legit or not. Kennesaw State is at Indiana. Kent State is at Texas Tech. Texas A&M hosts Utah State, who lost their entire offense to South Carolina, who now has their running back there. Ohio State is at home against Grambling. Poor Grambling is going to lose by 90. Georgia has Austin Peay. Oregon has Oklahoma State. I'm a man, I'm 40. He's a man who is a 28.5-point underdog. Clemson has Troy. One of the few games, maybe it's interesting. I don't think anybody has Ole Miss as a national championship contender. Ole Miss at Kentucky. This is Mark Stoops trying to save his job. Maybe that one's interesting. Tennessee, number 22, has East Tennessee State. Georgia Tech has Gardner Webb this weekend. Florida has South Florida. Maybe that one's interesting. Florida's favored by almost 20 in that one. Utah has Cal Poly. Miami has Bethune-Cookman. South Carolina has South Carolina State. I'm looking at rank games. Louisiana Tech at LSU. Okay, maybe we got one at 7:30. Michigan's at Oklahoma. Okay, I can get down with that one.
That's the most interesting game so far.
What's the line on that game, by the way? Stab at it. What's the line at that game? It's at Oklahoma.
Michigan by 3.
Oklahoma by 4.5.
Okay.
Which I told you, I think the Sooners might be a team this year. Might be a team. Top 25, Alabama hosts UL Monroe. And that's it. Like, that's your weekend. I think we got 3 games. I got Illinois at Duke, I think is interesting. We got Michigan at Oklahoma, I think is interesting. And then we have Baylor at SMU. Like, that's it. We went from a spectacular week one to a borderline, I'm going to tell the wife, if you want to go antiquing or whatever, let's go Saturday. Because NFL's back on Sunday. And the NFL is going to be way better than college football this weekend. You know I love some college football. My entire weekend last weekend was predicated around it. This weekend, not so much. So, with all of that being said, we're going to evaluate our AP Top 25. And a good chunk of the reason why is there's not going to be a ton of adjustment after this week. Either Oklahoma or Michigan is going to drop pretty significantly. If SMU loses this game, they may take a tank. I don't know. We're going to talk more about the AP Top 25 throughout the course of the first hour of the show. Your reactions are welcome. 844-326-3663. Text that number. Call that number. Who dropped too far? Who rose too highly? We continue the breakdown next. I'm Rob, he's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Here's a question that I just asked Lonzo on our live stream, which you can watch, by the way, at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Fan Upstate on Twitter, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch. Question that I asked Lonzo during the break, and I will now ask all of you on air. And I want your responses. You can text it to 844-326-3663. You can call and give me your answer, or you can, if you are watching the live stream, drop it in the chat. Did anybody genuinely impress? Who were the most impressive teams this weekend? Going down the list.
There's only really one. That's Florida State.
I think Florida State's in that group. I would honestly argue, I don't know if you would agree with me. I think Miami was kind of impressive this weekend. And on top of that, my biggest criticism about Miami, the reason that I was a little trigger shy on Miami, was Mario Cristobal. Mario Cristobal coached a great clutch game against Notre Dame. Notre Dame gave Miami every reason to panic at home. I know a lot of people were out on Carson Beck. I think Miami had every reason to panic. And my big take on Miami was, much like he did against Georgia Tech last year, Mario Cristobal came into this year to me, and I'm not saying he's completely shaken it. I will say he put a ding in it by coaching Miami to a win in that late game this weekend. My biggest criticism of Miami was Mario Cristobal, in high-pressure situations, will slam the door on his own foot. He didn't do that this weekend. So, I would say looking at the teams that were impressive against teams that they had an opportunity to be impressive against. Penn State beating Nevada by 50. Nevada's a bad football team. Here's a spot. Young kids out there, listen to Uncle Rob. You are not going to impress anyone by doing what you are supposed to do. And honestly, you shouldn't want to impress anyone by doing what you are supposed to do. Doing the bare minimum should not get you a pat on the back and a cookie. Doing the bare minimum is what you should strive to do at the bare minimum, right? I'm not saying that in every... Here's where the spot where your parents are going to get mad at me, kids, but trust Uncle Rob on this more than your parents, okay? Sometimes it is okay to just do the bare minimum. Sometimes it's okay to just do the bare minimum. If you find out that doing the bare minimum is good enough to get you by, sometimes that's okay. Not every time. Sometimes you should want to go above and beyond, okay? But sometimes it's okay to just do the bare minimum, get by, move on to the next thing. Penn State beating Nevada by 50? Yes, that's the bare minimum I expect. If you do anything less than that, yes, it is unfair. But there are situations where doing the bare minimum is not going to earn you praise, but not doing the bare minimum will earn you punishment. That's just life. That's how the world works. So, I'm not going to say there's any brownie points or reward going to Penn State for doing the bare minimum. And this is the other spot. Well, let's talk about LSU for a second. Are we truly impressed by LSU's win over Clemson? It was a good win. I don't want to take away from it. That's a tough road win at night in Clemson. Tough road win. Good road win. But the problem you're going to have if you're LSU is that when a win like this goes down, we were talking about Texas, Ohio State. I kind of put this into the same category. Clemson didn't look good. And don't take this as a bash. Dabo said this yesterday. Dabo went off on Cade Klubnik. I got that audio. I'm going to play that for you coming up in the next hour of the show. Clemson didn't look good, right? I mean, do any Clemson fans want to argue right now? We looked good. We just got beat by a very good LSU team. I have yet to talk to one since Saturday. And I've talked to a lot of Clemson fans. I have yet to speak to a Clemson fan who has said, we looked good, we just lost to a good team. So LSU gets points. That's why they jumped up 6 spots to number 3. Ohio State, 55 first place votes, jump up to number 1. They were number 3. They move ahead of Penn State because, again, Penn State did the bare minimum. You beat Nevada by a lot. I expected that. Anything less than playing to the number would have been a disappointment for the Nittany Lions. Ohio State, at home. I said this to Lonzo during the break. One of the problems that Ohio State is going to have, and the only reason that Ohio State is not consensus number 1, is because zero people went, damn, they beat a good Texas team. You asked the question yesterday on the show. Why is everyone talking about Texas bad and not Ohio State good? Well, the answer is because when you have a game like this, there's a spectrum. And on one end, it was Texas was bad, and on the other hand was Ohio State is very good. It's the scale of truth. And I think on the scale of truth, if I asked you to put a pin on which statement, like where on the sliding scale the truth is, on the Texas bad, Ohio State good scale of truth, I think the overwhelming majority of us would drop our pin way closer to the side of Texas bad than Ohio State good. Ohio State was. Here's the takeaway. You guys did not get a chance to show how good you could be because of how bad Texas showed that they are today. Not saying it's going to stay this way. But as of today, I would say Texas being as bad as they were, Texas pulling the pin towards the truth of scale, the scale of truth side that says we're not as good as you thought we were, prevented Ohio State from having a chance to show how good they are. Now, if you'd have gone out and hung 42 on their ass, then we still would have been, yeah, Texas is really bad and Ohio State's really good. But you went out, you didn't take the opportunity to go out there, put the artillery on Texas and just end them. You beat them 14-7.
So Ohio State wins all the tough games by one touchdown. Beats Michigan, wins the Big Ten, gets into the playoff. They're not a good team.
Whoa. We're not talking about week 13. I'm talking about week one.
Okay.
In week one, Texas was so bad that Ohio State could scratch that. You had a chance.
I didn't think Texas was that bad. Their defense.
Oh, I didn't.
Their defense is really good.
Their defense looked okay.
All right.
Their defense looked fine.
All right.
Here's it's subjective, but here's my takeaway.
We'll find out how good their defense is when they play someone else, and also when Ohio State plays someone else who's fairly challenging. If they put up a ton of points, and that shows that Texas's defense was pretty good.
I don't disagree, but here's the tough part about our job. Really, really crap show if we come in here and we go, all right, everybody, let's hang on till week six. We'll circle back around to Texas-Ohio State in week six. Like, we got to talk about what happened now. And what happened now is Texas looked bad. Ohio State did not go win that game by 40. So on the scale of truth, with Texas bad on this side and Ohio State good on this side, Texas took the pin and they dropped it way closer to Texas bad than you had the opportunity to pick it up and move it back closer to Ohio State good. Hence the poll.
Barring disaster, Ohio State's going to be number one for the next 3 or 4 weeks. At least 3 weeks until Penn State plays Oregon, and if Penn State is impressive and beats Oregon by a lot, then they'll move ahead of Ohio State.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that as well. And again, like let me be real clear about this, because I, in retrospect, realized that what I said a second ago could be taken as snarky, and I did not intend it that way, so I apologize if it did. What I'm saying is Penn State has FIU, Villanova, and then Oregon. Ohio State has Grambling, Ohio, and Washington. And Michael Penix Jr. ain't walking through that door. So the point here is we really only have, for at least 2 to 3 more weeks, we only have week one to evaluate Ohio State and Texas from a what do they mean on the national scale perspective. Because, again, you don't get credit for doing the bare minimum. I expect you to go hang 50 on Grambling this weekend. Now, to go to my second point, which is you may not get a reward for doing the bare minimum, but you absolutely can get punished for not doing that. If you go out there and you put up 17 on Grambling, then the conversation about Ohio State is very different next week. Very different. That's why we talk about it now. All right, we'll keep evaluating the AP Top 25 poll coming up here in a minute. A lot of Clemson stuff in the next hour because Dabo Swinney was the biggest critic of Cade Klubnik yesterday. I thought I was. Turns out Dabo was. We'll talk about that in the next hour. Water cooler cheat sheet. Denton Day of SiriusXM College Football Overtime coming up at 9:20 to break down the weekend and preview next weekend. All that and more coming up on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's The Fan Upstate. You guys have been going bananas on the chat, so let's respond to some of those. Kane says, let's talk about something soft. Cade Klubnik. I'm going to come to that, Kane, because Dabo Swinney went in like a solid minute and a half on Cade Klubnik at a press conference yesterday.
Tell me he went SAWFT. I wish he would have said that, because that would have been amazing.
I concur, but no, he did not. He did not call him SAWFT soft. But he did have a lot of other criticism. And I have the audio of that. We're going to play that in the next hour. We'll do that at 7:20. Because here is the reality. Dabo was right. And I saw a lot of people, a lot of Clemson fans yesterday going, oh, Dabo is only doing that because Cade is the type of leader who can take it. No, no, no. For as critical as I have been of Dabo Swinney since the L2 LSU on Saturday night, I am also going to give credit, as I do my best to do, to the same guys that I criticize when they get it right. And he was right. I didn't need to look any further than literally the very first play of the game. Cade was just missing guys on Saturday. And I don't know what the reason is. I got a couple of theories, but I'll play that audio for you coming up here in about 40 minutes from right now, and we will respond to it. Jersey Joe said, sorry, but any team with a loss should not be ranked ahead of any undefeated team, whether they're 1-0 or 12-0. Respectfully, Jersey Joe, a.k.a. the hot dog eating champion of the upstate. I disagree with that. I do not think all wins and losses are created equally. I think you can be more impressive in a loss than other teams can be in a win. I do think that, for instance, I think that Clemson's loss to LSU, I can justify that as being more impressive than, I was going to say South Carolina's win over, you know what, I will say that. I think Clemson's loss to LSU, in the mind of a voter, could be justified as more impressive of a loss than South Carolina win over Virginia Tech. I certainly think I would say Clemson at home, yes, but Clemson at home losing a close game to LSU, had this game been what it could have been, and it was a 24 or a 32 on the board for LSU, maybe we're having a different conversation, right? Had that touchdown not been, at least the touchdown on the sideline that I think was a touchdown for LSU that would have broken that game open, then maybe we have a different story. But no, like dropping 52 on Western Illinois is what I expect. If Illinois is a top 10 team, and I think this is another part of the conversation, is that there are a lot of teams that maybe aren't traditionally, Illinois being one of them, aren't traditionally considered powerhouses, and they make their way inside the top 10. And it's like, oh, they're not here very often, so we should treat them differently. No, no. When you get there, I'm going to treat you the same, whether you are a traditional blue blood or you are a team making your first ever top 10 appearance. Once you're in the picture, you are judged accordingly and equally, in my opinion. Illinois putting 52 on Western Illinois is what I expect from a top 10 team. And if you want to be a top 10 team and you want to be treated like a top 10 team, I expect you to perform like a top 10 team. It is the reason that nobody is coming in here and going, wow, Penn State hung 50, whatever it was, on Nevada. 46 on Nevada. Yeah, I expect that. Anything less than that would have been a penalty for Penn State. Doing what you're supposed to do does not get you a reward. In this case, more votes / more points in the AP poll. I got zero problem, even though it was, again, The Ohio State Texas narrative was to me more about Texas bad than Ohio State good. However, the quality of the win was better than Penn State hanging 46 on a bad Nevada Wolfpack. LSU going on the road, night game in Clemson, was more impressive than Georgia hanging, 45 on Marshall. Byron Leftwich ain't walking through that door. So it is a more impressive outcome for LSU, hence the jump. Miami, I'll tell you this, this is why I said in the opening segment, I think Miami, I got Georgia winning the SEC this year. Georgia being higher in the poll makes me look smarter. I got Miami over Georgia, to keep it a buck with you. Oregon, the Ducks are not expected to be the Ducks that they were last year this year. They hung 59 on Montana State. Yeah, Miami deserved to jump them. Texas deserved to fall behind them with the loss. I don't disagree with that. In fact, the first team that I think you can come to in the AP poll and genuinely ask the question, did they get enough credit for what they did, is number 10 South Carolina. South Carolina wins 24-11. But this is the other part of the conversation. There was a colleague, comrade, and teammate that I had this discussion with great regularity. This is why I do not think that you can do a good show. My opinion, subjective. I don't think you can do a good show if you're not watching all these teams play. I'm not saying you got to go watch Grambling play Southeast Louisiana State University. But if you're not watching, I'm not talking about the 90-second highlight package on ESPN. If you are not watching these teams play, I don't think you can do a good show, subjectively. South Carolina's win over Virginia Tech. Good win. Home win, but good road win in Atlanta. But here's the thing, and I would ask this question, and I would ask you to evaluate South Carolina fans without bias and critically. Were we impressed by the win? And I do think, whether it is fair or not,
We were impressed by the first drive.
We were very impressed by the first drive. I said that yesterday. If you got on social media at 3 o'clock, 3:10 on Saturday, social media was just, Lenoris is a dude and college football's in trouble. And then you didn't do anything for a minute.
Then you worry for a good portion of the rest of the game, and then suddenly that part came back a little bit. Yeah.
It's kind of like, to kind of use a comparison, we were talking yesterday about Texas, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU. Was there any point in the Texas-Ohio State game that there was maybe one point where you were worried Texas can climb in, and it was when Arch threw that dot of a tutty?
Yeah, and then I started getting nervous, no. Because the game was fairly close, so, I mean, and that put it within one score. It's like, oh, no.
Yes, there was a minute. Was there any moment where you felt like Clemson was just one strike away from getting back into it with LSU?
No, and it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was a low-scoring game also, but it just, they just looked like LSU should have scored so much more.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it wasn't. And at the end of the day, I have to evaluate what was, though I do think there is some room for what could have been, right? Especially when, we did this with South Carolina last year, right? We did this with South Carolina. When you lost to Alabama last year, you had to get dinged because the loss to Alabama was on you. You lost that game. You played poorly in a game where you had a chance to win on the road. You played poorly. The loss to LSU, I didn't ding you as much because to me, that game was ripped away from you. You didn't lose that game. That game was ripped away from you. And for me, not an AP poll voter, but for me, had I been an AP poll voter, I would not have dinged you for that loss, or at least not significantly. So, the question mark about you know, Clemson's loss to LSU. Why did Clemson fall behind Texas? Because there was never a point in that game where I went, one strike, Clemson's back, right? Like, it never, maybe some of you Clemson fans did. And of course you did, because you're a fan. But for me, there was never a point that I went, one Cade for Heisman moment, and we're back.
I think you can also judge it a little bit by crowd reaction. And it seemed like Clemson's crowd was not in it hardly at all.
I don't know. There was that one dude who was kicking that one LSU kid's ass in the upper deck. That was awesome.
That's a trend, unfortunately, that's picking up just about everywhere.
I'm just going to go ahead and say, Rob Brown is an anti-violence pacifist. However, if you're a road fan and you score and you walk up to a home fan and you double bird in that guy's face, if that dude picks you up by the shirt collar and slams you into the wall of the stadium, you kind of bought the ticket. Take the ride, bud.
Also, if you're going to throw up the birds, take a look at the guy that you're doing it towards. That guy is
dude was a big dude.
He just had that look on his face. Like, yeah. You don't want to mess with that guy.
If you haven't seen the video going around, there's a video of an LSU guy, young kid, like frat boy kind of guy. And it's somebody who's in here in a collared button-up nautical shirt, khaki shorts, and flip-flops. Like, I can judge. I'm one, too. There's a video of this, like, frat boy LSU guy after LSU scores, and he walks up to this Clemson guy who is clearly not in the mood. And after the LSU touchdown, he gets in the dude's face and he starts flipping the bird. This Clemson fan grabs old boy by the shirt collar, puts him into the wall of the stadium, does the most emasculating thing, which is, like, take the forearm, put it in the chest, and just pins this kid to the wall. And all of the sudden, Mr. How you like me now is like crapping his pants, and it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Anyway.
We don't condone that sort of violence. I mean, if you go to a public place, I mean, you don't need to fight. You don't.
I'm just going to say.
Even if, you know, take the high road when you're being instigated like that, just laugh it off. I get you had a bad loss. There's no reason to commit battery, which is what the guy did.
Yes.
And hopefully he's been found, and hopefully there will be legal action taken.
Hopefully.
Punk move by Clemson guy. I mean, take a high road.
By LSU guy.
Listen. You do not have to retaliate. He never physically touched the other guy. He didn't say anything. He just threw up some sign language.
You think he threw up two birds and didn't say anything? You think he didn't throw up? You think he threw up the double birds in a boy's face, but he was just quiet about it?
I am not condoning that kind of violence, because I don't know how old that kid was, because he looked like a kid. And he could have been a kid. He could have been a minor. And if so, that guy who did that's probably in trouble. And was it worth it? Maybe he'll say so. Maybe he'll say yes. But that kind of thing, and also the visibility and it being talked about so much, is going to cause it to happen even more. I think there's been an escalation of that, and it's been praised to a degree where it doesn't need to be.
I am going to say, I appreciate and agree with everything Lonzo said. You put a double bird 6 inches from my face, yeah, you're getting put into a wall.
Listen.
That's just what it is.
But you can't say that. You're the guy who said that. You love that greeting. You've talked about the story how someone walked into the bar and did that, and you started dying laughing.
Correct.
Right. That guy could have laughed about it and turned around. That's what he could have done.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm going to get in trouble. I got zero problem with what the guy did. None. I don't care. You walk up and double bird somebody. If you did it, here's a thought. Somebody walks up and does that to Miss Lisa. You're just going to be like,
"That's a different, honey. It's a different story.
Whoa, hey, why? No, why? Why?
It's a
why?
Different story.
Why?
I will get between them and try to talk the guy down and go, dude, that's classless.
Nah.
What are you doing?
Nah. Yes, because if there's a dude that rolls up and double birds in your face and you go, hey, man, that's classless, that guy's going to be like, oh, you're right.
See,
I'm
what
sorry.
You're doing
that's
now
on me. That's
is,
on me.
Is you're trying to get that to happen to me.
No.
And I
would, nope,
by,
stop
by,
it.
By
stop
speaking
it.
Into existence,
yes.
And throwing it out there, now someone's going to like, well, we'll
yes.
see. We'll see what he's really going to do. We're going to jump out. We're going to do that when we see him in public.
Okay, let me make this clear. any of you go up and say a solitary disparaging word to Miss Lisa, I'll beat your ass. All right? I will bring the fire. No problems. Not a word. All right. I would absolutely smoke that guy is the point. zero problem with that. All right, we got to run to a break. Here's what we'll do. When we come back, water cooler cheat sheet. I'll play the audio of Dabo criticizing Cade Klubnik. We'll get your reaction to that. We'll keep reacting to the AP Top 25, but we got to flip to some National Football League. We are predicting the NFC and AFC South today. Denton Day at 9:20 talks college football. Lonzo tells you the most important news of the day right now in a Sports Flash.
The new AP Top 25 poll dropped yesterday with the Ohio State Buckeyes claiming the top spot with 55 votes ahead of number 2 Penn State with 7 and number 3 LSU with 3. Georgia and Miami round out the top 5 ahead of Oregon, Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, and South Carolina, all in the top 10. Despite a win, Arizona State dropped to 12 ahead of Florida and Florida State, who jumped from unranked to number 14. The Atlanta Braves lost to the Chicago Cubs 4-3 yesterday. Joey Wentz took the loss, giving up 7 hits and 4 runs in 4 innings. Despite striking out 8, Atlanta had 8 hits, including homers from Ozzie Albies and Eli White. Series concludes tonight at 7:40 at Wrigley. A pair of Vanderbilt football players are amongst 10 athletes suing the NCAA to force the association to add a 5th season of eligibility for athletes. Athletes claim in their lawsuit that the NCAA eligibility rules violate antitrust law.